Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council's Planning Committee on Tuesday, the 2nd of January, 2024. Item number one on the agenda is apologies for absence.
Councillor David Paul and Councillor Cherry Nicholas.
And I have from Andrew Coleman as well.
Okay, thank you. We don't have any public speakers. Item number two on the agenda is the minutes of the meeting held on the 18th of December 2023, to which I'm grateful to Vice Chair Councillor Dumper for chairing. Does anybody have any comments on those meetings? I'll propose from the Chair that we accept those minutes. Councillor Andrew Tall will second that. So all those in favour of accepting those minutes? Thank you. Item number three, declarations of pecuniary interest and dispensations. I'm East Devon District Councillor, which pertains to one of the applications. I'm the Chair of Licensing, which pertains to another one. And for that license application, I helped set up and organise the event, performed at the event last year.
Okay.
The Pride event.
Yep.
Do you have any more declarations of interest?
Declare membership to the District Council then.
I just think that we probably should bear in mind the specific nature of that application.
So, when it comes to the District Planning Committee, then if I had to declare an interest, then I won't be able to determine it.
Are you on District Planning as well?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Okay.
No.
I think, Lisa, what would you suggest? I think
declare your interest that you're a district councillor, but I don't think there's any problem with you commenting on it. I don't suppose it'll go to committee at East Devon, but if it did, then they would have to give the committee a dispensation to discuss it. So
yeah, and I think as well, it's what did we say? We always say that anything we say in here is subject to change. You know, there may be further evidence later on. We might. You know, so it's not what we say here isn't set in stone. And are you okay with us being part of that debate?
Yep.
Not quorum if we're not, I think so.
I also if I can also declare my previous membership of the AONB partnership, because of course Vauxhall's car park is within that area, so and Ron's advised me to declare it last time, even though I'm not sure that I'm still a member of it technically.
Okay, thank you. Any more declarations of interest at all? Okay, so we move to urgent business, of which there isn't any, it would seem. Item number five, so that was item number four, urgent business. Item number five, tree and advertising consent applications. There are none. I suspect the storm today will have done quite a lot of that work for people. Having witnessed a huge part of a tree in the school I work snap off and fall to the ground, like a 200-year-old tree. Yeah, not
we
nice.
Had three reports today in Exmouth.
Yeah, there's one on
Marple Hill.
Yeah, that's the one I heard about, yeah. It's not a nice thing.
No.
Poor things. So now we move to item number six, planning applications. There are none in Brixington. That's probably why we haven't got anybody from Brixington here. Halston now. Planning application 23-2441 full, 253A Exeter Road. Construction of a single storey lobby to the existing annex, Wisteria Cottage, on the north elevation. We have no comments from statutory consultees. We haven't had any comments yet, either from Highways or the National Trust at this point. It pertains to, I really should have this in my head now, but I'll read it out probably word for word. pertains to policy EB2, the new development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design as exemplified in the avenue's design statement. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
I had a look at the plans and I know the area reasonably well. I mean, certainly there doesn't seem to be a problem with EB2. It is a fairly minor development, but I did actually wonder how close the new extension was going to be to the main house on the site, and that was a concern I had. But other than that, I would recommend no objection.
Okay, and there's no comments to that effect on the website, right? Okay.
Yeah, that would be that is tucked away and surrounded by trees. Presumably this area as well. No impact on any neighbours, no objection.
Okay, so we have a proposal. Anybody else got any views at all?
The drawings are a bit.
Yes. And the rest of
it suddenly.
So we have a proposer and a seconder for approval. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you very much. So we now move to Burlam, planning application 23-2614 Full, 19 Richmond Road. Conversion and extension to existing garage into a studio bedroom with a kitchenette and shower room. All that's for. Note that a certificate of lawful development was approved for the existing garage to be converted into a bedroom and ensuite with a store under application 22-1735 CPL. Certificate of prior lawfulness or something?
Permitted lawfulness, I think it is.
County Highways have not commented. Southwest Water have cited their requirement for their surface water strategy. Again, it's ban policy EB2. Councillor Graham DC.
Thank you, Chair. I have no objection to this. A couple of things that one noted was that the existing height of the garage was going to be increased slightly at the front, but it didn't impact on the immediate neighbour's house on that side negatively, I didn't think. It is an integral part of the house, where it's an external door, but it is, the way it's been designed, is just extension internal rooms, if you like.
Okay.
So in that case, I don't have a problem with it, so no objection.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Mike Rosser?
Yeah, I'll second that. No objection.
Okay, and Councillor David Paul has no objection as well, apparently. So we have a proposal and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Again, that's unanimous. Thank you. We now move to planning application 23-2624 Full. The toilets on Foxholes Car Park, Queen's Drive. The applicant is East End District Council. The proposal is to demolish the existing public toilets and replace with a new public toilet building. Highways, Natural England, East End District Council, Parking Services, Environmental Health have not commented yet, though have been consulted. The Eastern District Council Ecologist says any approval should be conditional that the works proceed in accordance with the Ecological Impact Assessment Report. And the Devon County Flood Risk folks have suggested that the planning officer is to advise if there are any specific concerns regarding surface water drainage. Two objections are based on the need for based on the fact. The question, is there a need for demolition, a lack of joined up thinking with regards to the placemaking agenda, the choice of location, the limited capacity of the new toilets, the construction period, potential charging regime, but arguably none of these are material planning considerations and we have to consider the plan that's in front of us. a environmental management plan. What does the C stand for, Lisa?
Construction.
Construction environmental management plan could address construction concerns. So this is EB2 and EN1, which suggests that proposed, where are we?
In the
ANB, yeah.
So whilst you're looking that up, I did circulate some information at the last minute today regarding the funding. I was aware that this is being funded through Changing Places funding that's come through the DLUCG. Because Molly and I had inquired about the criteria for such funding in respect of the need for such facilities near to the beach wheelchair unit. And at that point, we were signposted by DCULG, DLUCHD, yes, to the surveyor at East Devon District Council, who told us that he had actually put an application in and had received funding for 4 toilets across the district. But at that point, they weren't sure which toilets that they were going to renovate. So links I sent you today, just to give you a bit of background information, really, that I believe the District Council were awarded £120,000, which, according to the prospectus, they normally allocate about £40,000 per changing place toilet. But I think the District Council's got to use that to cover the cost of 4 across the district. Don't know where the others are, but also just to say that obviously if you weren't aware of what the criteria for a changing places toilet is, it's not just a disabled access toilet, it includes a hoist, you've got to have space for a carer to go in, the criteria is quite strict, and I believe the District Council had to put 10% match funding in, so I shared that because I'm aware there's been some concerns about the location and the cost, etc. I know, Graham, you raised some concerns about the fact that it didn't seem to tie in with placemaking. I just wanted to highlight the fact that it was a discrete funding pot that was available. And, yeah, in an ideal world, I guess the District Council would have waited. But the window for applications to that fund was quite limited and it's now closed. So, and they have to spend it within a certain time frame. So I just wanted to give that background information. I did look on East Devon District Council because I was trying to find that if there were any cabinet reports or anything.
So this
couldn't
was,
find
yeah,
anything.
This was a while ago when the public toilet policy was plan was discussed. And I seem to remember it was as part of the discussion where they were talking about whether they did a sort of banding exercise and where they decided which toilets they would look to close, which they would look to pass on, and which they would look to move to sort of like the shared use thing when you put like a community hub in it and still have a toilet there. This was, to be fair to East Devon, this was something that was in their plans right from the start to have to make an accessible toilet facility available. And as somebody who used to work with people like that, there's sort of adults with special needs that I can think of that would benefit hugely from something like this. So they could access the beach in a way they've never been able to before. But it has always been part of the plan, and I think from that they saw the funding. You know, that's why they sought this funding.
Yeah, I know Brian was a bit, Graham was a bit concerned about the disconnect with the whole placemaking agenda. But
it's just because placemaking in the sense of what's going on at the minute wasn't what it is now at that point.
And the other thing I was just going to say was in respect of the choice of toilet, it was also commented around the aspiration to improve the facilities at Foxholes for camper vans, because at one point there was a suggestion coming from our own camper van TAF and driven quite strongly by Christine Channon as the county councillor, that she thought we ought to improve the facilities at Foxholes to facilitate motorhomes. The advice from the planning department at that time was that they probably wouldn't get permission to do that. And you have to be quite careful about what facilities you introduce because it verges on becoming a campsite and then you have to apply for change of use. So the campervan TAF over several meetings in the last sort of 6 months has had some quite robust discussions about, you know, where they thought would be the best place if we were going to push for better facilities. And the outcome there was that the Mayor Road car park was deemed to be more appropriate for motorhomes and better facilities than the Foxholes car park. And that was the recommendation that we then endorsed to the District Council, that we wanted them to put some capital funding into improving the facilities at Mayor Road car park. And that's been done over two phases. The first phase is just introducing some grey water waste, I think, an Elson point. But the longer term aspiration would be to put possibly toilets and showers in that area. So just wanted to make sure that everyone was up to speed with what the Town Council has backed, and that latterly that was for better facilities in Mayor Road car park rather than Foxholes.
Elson point.
That's where you drive your camper van or your motorhome over, and you can discharge your black waste directly into into
toilets, as in.
There we go. So if you've got a cassette cartridge that you can remove, you have to pour it into a, you know, a sewer point. But actually, if you're on an Elson point, you can just put a pipe in, and it'll naturally discharged into a drain, effectively. Drive over sort of Elson points, or tip in Elson points. So.
You learn something. You learn something new.
Very old fashioned thing, the Elson toilet.
Yes.
I don't know. Councillor DC, and we'll come to Mike. Graham.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for all the explanations. As you know, I understand that there are lot of material impacts. And provide the right facilities in Exeter. I still fail to understand why we need to knock down the existing functional building instead of providing an extension building. And I fail to sort of see the argument for not just extending and rather than actually destroy something that's already there. We know the capacity of toilets on the seafront, you know, it is inadequate, and yet there's a slight reduction in number of one being removed. And although over the year we have, you know, 1,000 visitors, it's the peak times, which is the real problems. And those peak times, as we know, are growing now, really every weekend and evenings and so on. But anyway, so I think that was a concern of mine, that one might destroy something which functions well and without being considered just a straight extension. And that's to say, trying to protect the public person. So I think that was one thing I didn't quite understand. Obviously, as Lisa's picked up on, I have mentioned some other things about the lack of coordination between the car parking and the toilet people and the placemaking people and all this work in isolation. It's something that just does my head in even now. And I'm, you know, 6 months in, I'm still totally frustrated by that nonsense. And I don't know where we record that, Chairman. It's not in here. If they're not, you know, if these thoughts aren't put on in, where do we go with them? To say, you know, it's a ludicrous idea with a double O. Because where do we record this frustration?
It's
not through.
It can go in the minutes here as to how, you know, and I would, you know, I'd be happy if it did. But, you know, councillors have expressed. That they're becoming tired with people working in isolation and you know, there not being any joined up thinking. I can only say that on a lot of things I completely agree with you. We'll have a chat later. He's already asked me for a chat later. And you are free to express wherever you want.
I do understand they're not considerations.
Absolutely.
But to record these sort of things, because if we don't, I just worry they will just ramble on and ramble out without being challenged. Generate some sort of discussion at PPC in particular in this case. Yes, I do have objections. I must really don't support it as in its present plan, therefore I'm likely to abstain from approval. But I also understand fully that in planning terms, there's nothing I can object to.
No.
So that's my view. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Councillor Mike Rosser.
Quite interesting documents like this. And certainly our decision should not be budget-led. It should be coming right here and there. It seems that the architects that designed this building have been contracted to design all the toilets throughout the whole of East Devon as a sort of job lot. And hence you've ended up with a design that doesn't really fit in with its location, in my view. I echo Councillor Deasy's concerns about the need. The disregard by East Devon of their own proposed policy not to downbuild, not to demolish buildings, unless there's absolutely no alternative. Time and time again they're doing this. I don't think that the building respects the heritage of the resort. The proposed building what's wrong with the existing building? I mean, it could be updated, it could be enlarged, add on the changing room at the end of it. So I object.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think the changing places part of it, I think that's like a modular building that's ready constructed, and that might be why.
Sorry?
I think that the changing places part of it, the accessible room, I think that there's something that they, I might be wrong, but that they provide, that they just bring that along and it's set up as it should be and they plonk it down next to it, like a modular thing. I might be wrong.
They'd have to extend the existing building to create the space.
Does anybody else have any comments at all?
Can I just add one comment in which David Paws picked up on, which is that, you know, on several occasions recently we've cited concerns about demolition in the context of the emerging local plan. And David picked up that the report that went forward for 28 Cranford Avenue, those concerns were dismissed. Because they said that because the local plan is, the emerging local plan is still at a draft stage, there's no weight attached to that policy regarding the preference to not demolish. So we've cited that on several occasions recently, but the district council is saying that has no weight at the moment.
Bearing in mind we have a climate crisis, waiting for draft plans to become.
No, but I think what they're saying is that because it's in draft, and obviously when they object to planning applications, they have to cite adopted policy. So because it's not an adopted policy yet, and it hasn't got enough down the draft stage to carry any weight. So although we've cited that on a couple of occasions recently, they're dismissing it. So, I would say your comments regarding the building not respecting the heritage of the site probably have more weight, because we can link that back to EB2 or other things, which are adopted active policies. So.
I mean, the architects are talking about the lifeboat station and sort of linking the textures to the lifeboat station. It doesn't. I mean, it's got brightly painted doors on it, which it's not actually next to the lifeboat station, it's next to the cafe, which is a pitched roof brick building, which the existing building is. So I'm not impressed with the architects. I mean, their assessment of the existing building is they just describe it, they don't look at the potential for updating it and creating a 21st century toilet facility.
It would be helpful if they'd...
I think it's very bad as well.
It would be helpful if they'd given some explanation as to why demolishing it was the best idea, because as you say, there isn't any. So
economic point of view, does it make sense to
potentially? The other thing is, yeah, the buildings haven't been maintained for a long time, so I don't know what state it's in. But again, it would be helpful if it said that.
Yes.
Anybody else have any comments at all? Oh, Councillor Graham, please, we'll come back to you.
On one thing, I understand the waiting's discussion about it's not in the plan's still emerging, but rather like where do we put the comment? I think it's right to flag it up each time, as Councillor Rosser suggests. We know it won't carry the weight, but unless we keep saying it and getting it into the psyche, it'll never get there. And I just think that we should at least be saying, you know, we do object to knocking down what we think is a perfectly functional building on the grounds of, you know, carbon emissions, you know, and just put those statements in as we go. If that's in order, I don't understand. You know, I'm still feel new to this.
No.
If we are entitled to put those sort of comments in, I think we should be putting them in to show that we are concerned about carbon footprint, and that, you know, unless we say it, they'll just assume we're not.
And it may not make its way into the actual local plan if we don't keep saying it.
Yeah, thank you.
Are you happy?
Yeah, I'm happy to put it in. I'm just saying that in terms of objections, you know,
I do understand.
You can preface it with although we understand it's not yet a valid reason for.
Can I mean, the architects report for this project, so they quote East Devon's policy of carbon reduction and say they maintain that the design respects that and does everything it can to reduce carbon emissions. So if they're saying that, then I think we can say, well, no, if you're knocking down the building, you're actually releasing carbon into the atmosphere.
Okay, does anybody else have any comments at all? I mean, we do have a proposer and a seconder for objection. Councillor St. Duncan?
Yeah, can I just ask, Lisa, when you sent out the message you did this afternoon, it said on the top withdrawal.
Because I linked it, but because the prospectus is no longer active, because they're no longer taking applications changing places, on the government website it says withdrawn, because it's no longer open for applications. But that was just the prospectus. That was just the prospectus, but I did also link in the changing places stuff from Devon County Council, which is what you need in a changing places toilet, and also another link to the levelling up page.
Yeah. Okay, so we have a proposer and a seconder in favour of objection, with the reasoning that it does not fit the surrounding area and doesn't take account of the environmental of its surrounding environment, and it's not in keeping with the building styles nearby. All those in favour of objection? All those against? And abstentions? Okay. So that's 3-2, so that is, we have voted for objection.
Objection, okay. I thought only two people voted for objection. Did you vote for objection as well?
Yeah.
Okay, right, that's fine. Okay. So Graham proposing, Mike seconding. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Those comments have got to go in tonight, so.
Yeah, well, it's not that to my fault. I'm sorry about that.
It's not acceptable. First day back.
It is very early in the year for one of these, isn't it? Okay, so we now move to Town Ward, where I can talk to myself. Planning application 23-2616-COU. Change of use. So this is potential change of use of the first floor of, 95A Exeter Road. The first floor, which is currently in use as a dental repair shop, to a residential flat with separate access. There's no comments from County Highways and Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EE3. says that applications for change of use from employment use to residential leading to a reduction of employment will only be supported if the existing site is no longer economically viable and has been marketed at a realistic price within 1 year. However, it hasn't been used as a dental as a dental repair shop for a long time, as far as I can tell from the application. It hasn't been marketed, so by rights I should be objecting to this. There are some strange things in the plans that I don't quite get. Little acronyms like FAP. I don't know. I don't know what that means. But I just don't know what. I think I have no objection to this because it provides accommodation that is that's desperately needed. It's not been used as a business property for a long time, and subject to the, again, subject to the, it meeting the flood, the Environment Agency's flood requirements, which seems crazy given where it is, and it's a first floor flat, but it still needs to pass that. I have no problem with it. Tim? Thanks, Tim. Councillor Tim Dunbar.
Thank you. But how long is a long time? As far as I live around the corner from there. Maybe my memory's going, but I would have thought it's only somewhere between a year and 2 years that it's changed use away from being a dental surgery.
Was it actually a surgery, or was
it? Oh, it was a surgery downstairs. Yeah. And a workshop, presumably upstairs, which they're talking about conversion.
Right. So it's still a dental surgery downstairs?
I don't know. I know. It's closed. It's been closed as a dental surgery for however long, a year to 2 years, I'd say. But I wondered why it hasn't been marketed. If our policy, or district's policy, is to market it. What I would say is that a lot of those shop and retail and other units along that bit, away from the town centre, are being converted these days. There is quite a lot of that going on. The sort of distance from the town centre, the business thing, is not an easy thing to maintain, I think. But aside from that, I'd like to see it marketed really before we...
I don't think we can insist on it being marketed.
No.
I think the policy is there to say that if it hasn't been marketed, we can object. But it was obviously aimed at protecting employment land.
Yeah.
It says that my client took over in April 2023, but the last use date is unknown, so the applicant doesn't know. Which is an awkward one, isn't it?
We had another application on Exeter Road, which was change of use. Not Exeter Road, the parade, I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wasn't that the betting shop?
Possibly.
Changed from...
That was a change of use. And...
I'm happy... If we want to stick to the policy and we want to be consistent, I'm happy to say that... object on the grounds that it hasn't been marketed. I suspect these then will go. I think actually on reflection I probably should do that just to be consistent with the policy.
Okay.
Yeah, well, wonder whether because of improving technology whether the dental repairs can be accommodated on the ground floor.
But it's not a dental surgery apparently anymore, so 95A.
I can't find the one on the parade. It's not coming up on the map, but I was fairly certain we had one.
Let's just see if we can work out what it is now.
Well, it says surgery on the plans. It says surgery on the ground floor, existing and proposed. Surgery 1, surgery 2.
It says it's a
certainly the application refers to upstairs, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can I just say that we need more dentists. Dentists need places to practice.
That's a whole different thing. And in terms of dentists coming here and doing NHS work, we'd love that to happen. It's not a case of build it and they will come, unfortunately, with that.
I'm not too concerned about the upstairs being turned into a flat, but I would be concerned if they closed down the surgery.
It's already been closed.
Well, as far as it says surgery.
As far as I can see, 95A.
It says proposed plans on surgeries.
What?
Well, you close down the surgery, then you're not going to get dental. You'd be losing a potential dental practice. You keep the surgery open as a surgery, then.
But I don't think the application actually applies to the surgery area, does it?
No, it doesn't.
So the application is
would be concerned if it did. I'm less concerned about the upstairs.
Yeah. Did you?
No, I was going to say, Tim said it's closed as a dentist. Mm. If that's not the case, then it's a slightly different discussion. But if it is closed, which I don't think there is a dentist there now, then the dental repair shop was probably there because of the dentist. Without the dentist, you know, the dental repair shop. So you're not the marketing of the dental repair shop. And I think it's far enough out of town that for job creation and all that type of stuff. If it's a couple of years since it was either a surgery or a dental repair shop, then it probably needs to be turned into something that's useful anyway. And to be fair, flats in that area are probably desirable for housing population anyway. So,
and yes,
so it was Select Dental.
That's right.
Yeah. And that's the page has now been archived, so it's not now.
Just to answer Councillor Andrew Woodward, the reason I think they had a dental workshop there was because they made a big thing about specialising in implants and that kind of restorative dentistry work.
And they've gone.
Which is quite trendy again now, is to be honest about.
And so no, it's gone anyway. And
they were featured on the website letstalkdentures.com.
Good point. I'm thinking of a sort of slightly similar situation near where I live, where there's a GP practice surgery health centre, and there was an application to turn it into residential. If that surgery went, I mean, the whole large housing area up on the north. Would not be able to access primary health again. So I just think if you close down healthcare facilities, surgeries and so on, then there's a danger of eroding health health services.
Just to confirm, this place didn't do NHS work. This was a private dental thing. Yeah, no, I can completely get what I can completely understand what you say.
Yeah.
This was a business. They didn't do, as far as I can tell, anything.
Is there a policy in the neighbourhood plan that in the community section, last section, that says we'll object to loss of?
There is.
I think there is. I can't remember the exact wording for it, but.
Yeah.
Neighbourhood plan supports the identification and development of sites in Exmouth for the provision of public toilets.
That's a community action, is it, as opposed to a policy? Yeah.
Leisure facilities.
Maybe, again, it might be a community action point, but I think there's something in there that says that we would resist loss of.
Development and contribution hearts and railways. Any development proposal which leads to a reduction in current health and wellbeing facilities will not be supported unless mitigated by improved or increased capacity for the delivery of health and wellbeing services. That's CF1.
Mm. But you'd have to, you could only use that if it's being, if it has been used as a dental surgery in the immediate past.
And you have, had another private dental care service open, a quite a sizable one in the town.
I think the loss of amenity has already happened in reality quite some time ago.
Yes.
And how long ago that was, we don't know. Although, it's difficult to tell from here. The right move is describing it as a flat. A lot of the references on the internet cite this planning application, which is unhelpful. It's just, oh, look, there's a planning application there. So, can you ask a bit more?
I would, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I will say that if we could say, I will agree with Tim, so I will also object, but if you could write that it is with a heavy heart, because it's exactly the sort of accommodation that I think we need here. but that it should be marketed.
So it's contrary to policy E3?
Yeah, and that it should be marketed as employment. Yeah. Okay, so we have a what's it and the doodah, proposer and a seconder. Proposer and a seconder in favour of rejection. All those in favour? Oh yeah. All those against? And abstentions. Wise. Okay, planning application 23-2534 listed building consent. Replace two window 17 Bicton Street. Replace two windows at the first floor and one window at ground floor of the southeast elevation. We've had no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This is EB2 and also EB1 because it is in a conservation area. Development proposal should seek to conserve heritage assets. Restaurants, bus shops. As far as I can tell from the application form, it doesn't explicitly say, so these are wooden windows, so you've got on the application form a bit where it says, what's the current building, or what's the current part of the building, and then what are you going to replace it with. In the application form, only what it is at the minute is filled in. I can only assume, and looking at the pictures, it looks like that they are replacing like for like, so they are getting rid of wood and putting double glazed wood windows, and it's really hard to tell because it doesn't explicitly say it anywhere. There's no, and the description of windows doesn't actually say they are made of wood, as far as I could tell.
I read that it did say, yeah, I did as well. It was on the handwritten letter from the applicant.
There we go.
Yeah,
I've got to go.
Okay, that's fine.
I would agree with the subject of the.
Yeah, that's what I was going to do anyway. But yeah, I have, assuming that, I have absolutely no problem with it. I think, it actually, assuming that it is, it helps preserve these buildings rather than, let them go to rack and ruin. So I am happy to propose no objection. Might be to it, right? So, subject to the listed building officer's consent or report, I am happy to propose a second. Proposal and a second for, no objection. All those in favour. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh dear, that's not worth it. Okay, so now we move to Withy Camorelli. Planning application 23-1751 full, 7 Freeland Close. A proposed side and rear extension and internal alteration along with an additional one floor through roof conversion. These are amended plans, the revised design for consideration. Exmouth Town Council objected to the original application and the first iteration of amended plans on the basis that the property is in the style of, is in the corner of a cul-de-sac with bungalows on either side of a similar size and style. The proposal sought to alter the design of the roof space, which it felt did not respect the existing characteristics of the area and would be out of keeping with the current development pattern. The scale, massing, density, fenestration would appear incongruous and would appear at odds to the street scene. Concern was also raised about the loss of privacy to the adjoining properties. Councillor Matt Hall from the District Council notes that the revised plans submitted represent a marginal improvement to the previously submitted scheme, but believes it is still contrary to the East Devon District Council local plan policy D1 section 2, 3B, E and 4C, which we all know. The proposed elevation still negatively impact on the amenity of neighbouring properties, especially number 5. Excuse me. The proposed built form and use of materials is contrary to the street scene. A purpose-built second story to this property is not acceptable due to the surrounding built form and street scene. Is that definitely a response to the second lot of amended
yes.
plans?
Yeah,
right,
he made
okay.
those comments on the 18th of December.
Yeah. Okay, that's great. So views of representations, we have 8 representations in respect of amended plans. They generally say that the amended plans do not overcome the objection that the proposal is overdevelopment of the site, loss of privacy and out of keeping. There are 12 representations in respect of the original application and 3 letters of support. This is excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2. Which suggests that we need to be mindful of surrounding building styles.
Again, I had a look at this place again today, just remind because some of these applications don't feel like each other. But I just think it's far too ambitious for that plot of land just going to dominate that corner. The boys are very quiet, very small cul-de-sac. It is quite an ambitious, large project, and I understand why the residents in the men are against it, and why Matt, you know, as a professional planner, is still very much against it. So on that basis, I recommend refusal.
Does anybody else have any comments?
I'll second that.
Okay, thank you. So we have a proposer and a seconder for objection. All those in favour? That is unanimous. So we now move to other items. Oh, I've played a gig at Sea Dog Art Gallery as well.
Okay.
Premises license application. We don't have to comment on this. If anybody does have any comments, then we're welcome to. Sea Dog Art Gallery is applying for a premises license. I think it was in the process of doing it before under Anna Fitzgerald, and then it changed hands. So I imagine that's what's confused that. When considering these, we can only talk about the prevention of crime and disorder, public safety, the prevention of public nuisance, and the protection of children from harm. Does anybody have any comments? So it's just an alcohol licence for the Sea Dog Art Gallery. It's not going to be a...
Councillor Nicholas phoned me this morning to say that she had concerns about the protection of children from harm. Because she felt that the statement regarding facilities for children and children being in that environment were a little bit weak. But I don't know whether that has any strength, really. You might be better placed to comment on that.
You're perfectly able to note that if you want. It might be something that then they have a look at. I think it's difficult because...
I think what it says, let me pull the licensing application up and I can tell you exactly what it says. It says...
There we go.
Yeah, so it says conditions offered, so not serving anyone who's intoxicated, blah, 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 blah. But then it says... protection of children from harm, no children past 8 o'clock. Dealing with unaccompanied children calmly and safely. Refusals registered. I think Cherry just objected to the idea of children being allowed onto the premises. But
and I think
that's slightly
that
incongruous
is.
With other licensed premises, isn't it?
So yeah, I mean, other licensed premises allow children up to the sort of permitted point by law, and it isn't a pub.
No.
I think is the other thing. It's an art gallery that serves coffee during the day, and as far as I can tell, it's not going to be open every night. And And you know, if you can we can reassure Terry by saying that I think those are the things that will be picked up by licensing. Mm. So feel free to mention them.
Okay. I won't submit the comments unless there's a unanimous agreement.
Are we happy with it?
Yeah, okay.
It's fairly standard.
There's a safeguarding officer
Whenever somewhere gets a new license, they inspect and look at that very quickly, and assuming everything's fine, and that happens less frequently.
And they have to have a designated officer, I think, as well, a designated person, if you like.
So, we've also received a premise license, a temporary or time limited premises application for the 22nd of June for Exmouth Pride. Just down there. Again, prevention of crime and disorder, public safety, prevention of public nuisance and protection of children from harm. This is potentially quite controversial. It has been passed because some people's views on what is a public nuisance, and you know, some people think that pride will harm children somehow. Anyway, so we have to base this basically on how they've performed before, and they have not had a problem. And actually, given the they've not done anything that's contravened their licensing conditions, and that's what they'll ultimately be judged on.
Always a fun event.
So, do we have any comments on that? Are we happy just to let that one go? No, nobody's gonna be brave. Cool, excellent work. So we now move to item 8. Items for information. So we have an appeal decision in what is probably the greatest surprise in the history of Exmouth Town Council's planning department. Churchill Retirement have been given permission to build 54 retirement living apartments and 6 retirement living cottages, including communal facilities, access to car parking. Access car parking and landscaping and 178 square metres of commercial use. That happened.
Can you clarify the comments you made about this when you gave an overview of attending the appeal? You seem to be indicating that there's a bit of stitch up between EDC and that Churchill agreed to pay legal costs.
I wouldn't use the word stitch up. I would use the word prior engagement. They had met. They spoke openly about meeting previously. It was a situation, and I'm not aware of the full details, but where initially East Devon, the planning committee, had objected with what they thought were good reasons. But that was against what the officers had recommended. Afterwards, there was a meeting, as far as I can tell, where, I don't know if it was of the whole planning committee or part of it, where the officers told the committee, or suggested quite strongly to the committee, that there was no way you would win this, and that because they had objected, because they had said that the application was okay and should be passed, that the officers were unable to support the planning committee's viewpoint in objecting against it. And the reason that, you know, one, because they hadn't recommended it objection in the first place, and two, because of the cost involved, potentially.
Why would you say the planning officers accepted it? I mean, you said the planning committee declined it. The planning officers, which is their right, but on what basis?
So we
clearly stated in Exmouth what the situation is with retirement.
So when you have at the district planning committee, the planning officer draws together all of the documents, and in that, so this is before the planning committee meets, you will see what their recommendation is. So the planning officer will offer at the start of the meeting for all of the applications that are there, we think this is okay, we think this should be passed or, you know, allowed, and we think this should be refused. So they knew that before, and the planning officers had said that they thought it was okay. Because of the furore around it, and for, you know, reasons again, like we spoke about earlier on about the place not being marketed properly for, you know, residential use, for commercial use, the councillors objected to it. But because the officers hadn't, that wasn't the, what the officers thinking, the officers basically said, well, we can't defend your point of view. And therefore, they kind of suggest, you know, they basically put the councillors, when they met for the second time, in a position where they have to go, okay, well. So at the meeting itself, you basically had an argument with two people agreeing with each other, which is a very strange situation to be in. And there's me, the lone voice who can speak for 3 minutes, sat through the whole of it. Just, you know. I got made to feel quite stupid and small, actually. It wasn't a pleasant experience. I did enjoy it much, but hey. I'm glad it was online, because I probably...
We had a similar situation with the Salterton Road one, though, where the officers had recommended refusal. There'd been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between the planning department and the applicant to figure out how they could retain the employment use. And it went to committee because the officer's opinion differed from ward members and the town council's opinion. Went to committee. The committee recommended refusal. It was refused. It went to appeal. And I was saying to Joe that the officer, because the councillors don't attend the appeal, it's the officers that attend the appeal. And so the officer that attended the appeal, who was then asked to defend the council's decision to decline the application, was the same officer that had written the report saying that he thought it should be approved. And he was in a really difficult position, and he couldn't robustly defend the district council's decision because it was actually contrary to his recommendation. And the inspector picked that up. He said, you had a report on the table that recommended approval. It's gone to committee and it's been refused. But in principle, the officer's report was robust. And we were in a similar situation. We attended, Fred Cagle and I attended to try and oppose it. But like you, you know, because the original recommendation had been approval, the inspector saw through it.
And when we came to this one, you didn't even have a planning officer there.
I did flag up, didn't I? I said to you when you went, it would be useful to find out whether the district council is going to defend the committee's decision if it's contrary to the decision that the officer had put forward. And you had some correspondence with the district council to that effect, didn't you?
And Matt as well spoke to me.
I was just going to repeat something I said at a previous meeting, that I think it's been a long-standing policy that planning officers don't, if their recommendations are overturned, they say they can't defend it. And I agree with what Lisa's just said, that you certainly shouldn't put a professional planning officer in the situation of turning turtle. And I think I'm right in saying that their professional code of ethics says that they should not do that. That having decided on a particular case, then they stick with it. So that's where we are.
It does make you question what the point of it all is, though, doesn't it? If that's the case,
yeah.
Why get us together in a room to have these discussions if what we're saying actually matters, not one job, and you've decided already? If that's how it's got to be.
Yeah.
And also what should really be the overarching thing of local democratic decision. But I don't know, Lisa may know this already, but Don't know whether anybody else has picked it up, but Michael Gove made some comments the other day about planning and the NPPF. And one of the strongest comments I noted he made was just on this issue, where councillors have to be brought into line and disciplined when they try and overturn officer decisions.
Well, it's been lovely having these meetings, but it rather seems like they're pointless now.
I do think, though, that the way that the District Council Planning Committee meetings are held now compared to how they've been held in the past, where the planning solicitor quite robustly holds councillors to account in terms of making sure that, you know, the objections are very grounded in policy, I do think that that's tightened up considerably compared to meetings in the past, but nonetheless,
okay. So we've not done very well on the planning decisions.
It's quite illuminating, though, if you read the if you read the reports. I think all of them are quite illuminating, actually.
Yeah. Land south of Halston Avenue, we had no objection, but E7 have refused.
I'm very glad.
And they've refused on the grounds of the loss of trees and the impact of the trees, which I think is interesting. Mundy Farm, I think we had severe reservations about that application and said that we weren't objecting to the principle, but... And we also picked up that the existing use we felt was unlawful, and it does say in the report that went to committee that there are enforcement.
Ah, brilliant.
People are looking into that use.
Okay.
But it was ultimately, it was refused because it was deemed to be out of keeping with the historical, the historical sort of context.
Can we say that depending on the conservation officer's report?
Newlands Avenue is quite interesting in the context of the Freelands Close, because we objected to that one on the grounds that we felt that it was out of keeping, and they've said that because the street scene has a combination of two-storey and single-storey buildings, they didn't support that. And it's quite interesting with the Freelands one, because one side of the road, as you go down the cul-de-sac, there are quite a lot of two-storey buildings, aren't there?
Mm.
But it's just that that particular corner is, you know, there's two bungalows on either
side,
but there are two-storey buildings.
Are.
So be interesting to see what the outcome of that one is.
Yeah, I still, you're right, I've been thinking that today, because I know the first time, because Ron's walked through there, we were talking about it beforehand, and we both agreed, definitely, but... Well, in there today, I saw the two-story there, and I'm thinking, but you just feel this would feel incongruous.
It would, yeah,
where
it would.
It is.
I think
but
there's solid grounds for objecting,
yeah,
but it will be interesting to see what comes out with the planning committee.
It goes through on the basis of there's only about 14 houses there in total, and seven are
And I can't remember what the Collerton Way one was.
That was the highest bit of the time I was looking at that one, because that's my area.
I'm on the corner of Iron Avenue, which, if it was up for discussion, I'd have to declare an interest, because it's within view of our house.
Yes.
But I think the next door neighbour will be glad that it's been refused.
That's the one where they were going to separate it into two
yes.
properties. I don't know, but anyway, as always, they're quite telling how they determine them and you know, the way in which compares with the way that we've commented, but interesting.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody. That draws this evening's meeting to a close.
Thank you.